taught me how to. Taught me how to.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. We're in uncharted territory. We're in the 8 to 9 o'clock hour, which is brand spanking new.
Uncharted is true, but
uncharted territory. We've got a phenomenal guest coming up right now, folks. But first, Midwest Restoration offers 24/7 emergency services for its clients, provides a full range of services for both residential and commercial properties, including fire damage restoration, water damage, mold remediation, wind and hail damage, biohazard cleanup. They do it all. Midwest Restoration, they are amazing. They do so much for the community. It's unbelievable. If you need their help, 920-MIDWEST, 920-MIDWEST, MWRestoration.com. They are amazing. They are huge backers of our veterans. And we've got our new segment coming up that we're going to have every week. It's called Veteran Spotlight. And I want to get a creme de la creme for our very first veteran we're going to talk to. This is a gentleman that you met, Jim.
I did.
Because he was here as our guest of honor for the City Stadium Run for Veterans a few years back. BJ Ganna. BJ, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you on. Thank you so much for taking the time for us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
BJ, I'm gonna just start from the very beginning. Can you give a little synopsis of your military career?
Sure. I was politely asked by Georgia Southern University not to come back after posting a 1.7 GPA.
Okay.
And
higher than mine.
In lieu of trying to get a real job or moving back home, I decided on a whim to join the United States Marine Corps. Left for Paris Island and served 4 years active duty from 96 to 2000 in the infantry, and felt like I wanted to get out there and do more in the civilian world, but I really liked being a Marine, so I stayed in the reserves and moved up here to Wisconsin and served with Golf Company 2nd Battalion 24th Marines. And 9/11 changed everybody's life, but in 2004, we were activated to go to Iraq, and there is where I ended my career after an IED. I took my gunner, Ryan Catafio, from Beaver Dam and left me missing a left foot, and kind of threw me into the veteran service world, trying to figure out what it was like to be a wounded warrior, if you would.
Well, that's what's pretty cool, though, BJ. I mean, it's not cool you lost your foot, but you were serving your country and doing it. But there are a lot of guys I know, and I'm sure you know lots of them more than I do. But, some of them just kind of went home and kind of sat in the corner and maybe hit the bottle and, whatever. You did just the opposite. You basically said, okay, this is a terrible thing that happened. How can I make this a positive thing? And you have helped so many veterans in your situation.
Well, thank you. I mean, it didn't come right off the bat. I did a lot of the stereotypical things when I got back, hitting the bottle, fighting and drinking and doing all that kind of stuff too much. But I did. I ended up becoming a county veteran service officer for Dane County, and then moved on and worked for the Simplify Fund and the veteran advocacy world, and stepped out and started my own thing called Sierra Delta.
BJ, What was the turning point there? I mean,
By the way, this is Jim Schmidt. He was the mayor when you came up for our guest of honor, and you met him.
We met at East High School. You were the
I remember you.
Okay. Actually, you were the last guest of honor before we had the girl came on who became a prostitute. Do you know that story?
Do you remember that story? John and I were getting all these pictures with her. We're like, okay, great. And then it wasn't that long after that we read that.
It was the next year. It was 3 weeks after she was here, I think. It came out. She was a high-class prostitute in Las Vegas. But so, we'll move on.
There you go.
We got the pictures with her, as we do with you. Hey, but what was your turning point? I mean, you started in 96. You went through it. You went back in. Then that IED changed your life. And you said you kind of went into a little, I don't want to say depression, but you went into a tough time.
Yeah, definitely went into it. Yeah.
Okay. And then what turned it
around?
Yeah,
I went into a different. At the time, I was working for Kraft Foods and had a company car, and I got in some trouble, and I ended up with charged with driving under the influence, and knew that I was going to lose my job because of that, and that would have, you know, taken away all the insurance I had for my kids. I had two small kids at the time. I went through a divorce, bankruptcy, all that bad stuff, and you know, staring down and looking at, you know, contemplating ending my life, thinking of how bad it was. You know, I had this old English bulldog that I knew wouldn't be able to survive without me. If I checked out, he'd end up in a shelter, most likely be killed. And so that is some of the motivation that helped me see through that depression and decide to get back on the horse and figure this stuff out. So I wrote a bunch of letters, commanding officers, first sergeants, managers, and all that stuff, people that know me. And I got a second chance. And with that second chance, I didn't want to blow it. And that got me thinking that maybe I was in the wrong career path. So I stopped chasing down a business degree and switched over to psychology and eventually got a master's in social work and eventually left Kraft Foods in that corporate world and started down this path of veteran advocacy, trying to figure it out for myself and for the other veterans. And really just trying to understand how to navigate the VA, which, you know, you almost need a master's degree to understand that just maze of bureaucracy that our government is just, you know, known for. And really trying to figure out other things that could help. You know, one of the things that I noticed was most of us that served in the military, once we got out, you know, there wasn't really that many opportunities abound for us. I mean, we were still being held to have to go back to college and get these degrees and get licenses, even though we have a bunch of training and whatnot. It was very complex. And so I wanted to dive into it. I think I've done a pretty good job.
No, what have you?
BJ, one of the things, though, too, if I can just back up, and I've deal with a lot of, you know, obviously veteran and a lot of amputees and helping with the Wounded Warrior Project and everything. But, you know, one of the things, and I mean, let's be honest, when you go into the Marines, you're an elite breed. I mean, you really truly are. I mean, everybody in the services, but they really instill that you're the most badass people on the face of the earth. And what I've dealt with some of them is when they do suffer an amputation or really severe, all of a sudden that gets sort of taken. They still have to convince themselves they're still. Can I say ass on there?
Yeah. Todd, I think so. Right.
They have to convince themselves they're still badass because that takes something away. Did you deal with that as well, with that self-esteem aspect? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's still something that, it's not something that just goes away. I mean, I try to remind people it's a journey. You know, there's days when my leg doesn't fit or it's just hurting too bad to put on. There's days where I just don't want to put the leg on, you know, but you kind of have to fight through it and find different ways to it. And, you know, I've been blessed enough to have a bunch of opportunities. You know, we had that Wounded Warrior amputee football team where we played against former NFL players, and that was great, really showcasing what we were still able to do. I've run 2 marathons with the prosthetic leg, and I'm not a runner, even when I had 2 legs. And, you know, I've been able to climb mountains and dog sled and do a bunch of things. So, I mean, you have to constantly push yourself, and I think that's for a lesson for all of us. I think we all have to do that, try to push ourselves and figure out what it is that we can do. I mean, we're blessed with a great brain, a soul, and then a body that is probably more capable than we give ourselves credit for, whether it's missing pieces or not.
Tell a little bit about the project you've done with dogs.
Yeah, so Sierra Delta, I mean, Dozer, that old English bulldog, had such an impact on me. And over the 20,000 veterans that I've worked with from all eras in my career, that's been the most common story, is that they really were able to connect with a dog. And what I was noticing was all the help was centered around these ADA service dogs, which less than 1% of the veterans actually need. The majority of us do not need a dog to go everywhere with us. However, the majority of us could really benefit from reestablishing that sense of team by having a well-trained dog in our life. You know, I'm always flabbergasted. I mean, the Wounded Warrior commercials remind me more of the Humane Society commercials anymore. Like, it's always, you know, woe is me, or you know, the worst part about us. And I wanted to focus more on some of the best parts about us and really focus on that with a dog. So getting that good dog training, you know, to get to that level that they are comfortable with, whether they wanted to go shed hunting or, you know, dock diving or run agility courses. Like, why can't it be all these other things besides just a sad story? Why can't we make this a positive thing? Why couldn't we make this more of a way to get upstream and prevent a lot of the depression? You know, get to these veterans early, have them work with a professional trainer and a dog of their choice, and decide what they wanted to do. I mean, one of the things I love to do with my dog, Loki, now, those are since passed, is we hit the trails, and I put him on what's called a whisk me command, and he knows he can stay in that 6-foot radius. I mean, it feels like I'm patrolling again. And I really like it. And so we have other guys and gals that do, like, triathletes, other people that just need a good dog in their life. So instead of trying to raise, you know, a lot of these ADA service dogs that are purposely bred, they say they cost $65,000 a dog. And if you add up all the different organizations and academies out there, there's only 1,000 vets a year getting help with these ADA service dogs. And every other veteran just kind of left on their own. We wanted to flip that on its head. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to focus on trying to get veterans who probably already had a dog. I mean, 68% of American households already have a dog in the house. And what we've seen when we've worked with over 3,000 vets since 2017 is 67% of the veterans that we saw already had a dog. So let's go there. Let's get some good dog training involved with them and have the veterans be a part of that training process. Instead of waiting for the dog 2 years for a pre-trained dog to be delivered to you, these men and women, what they miss is being a leader, having a mission, having a target to hit, and they can do that with dog training with the help of professional training.
I think that's awesome. That makes so much sense.
I mean, Jim has a dog.
I do.
That's literally such a big part of his life. You can't believe it.
I do. I talked in the morning. He comes down. I don't have some of the challenges you have, but I tell you, what you were talking about, the companionship, the training, the, you know, the leadership, they really look up to you.
Yeah.
But they are like awesome to have in your life. Yeah, that's awesome what you're doing. And how can we support you?
We got to set a quick break. You're coming back. Okay, BJ, you okay time-wise?
Yeah.
We got a whole other segment. This is BJ Ganim, unbelievable veteran, veterans advocate, has done so much for veterans, served our country in a spectacular manner. We'll be back with BJ right after this. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here in our third hour, our brand new day of third hour. And one of our regular segments is going to be Veteran Spotlight. And we couldn't ask for a better representative right now than BJ Ganim, who's done so much for veterans after being severely wounded in Iraq, coming back and taking care of these guys right now. BJ, what, you know, obviously one of the big things, the HUA project here is to help prevent veteran suicides. And I know you deal with that as well. I hate to use the word solution, but is there something we can do to help, you know, just to help with that whole situation that's happening? What's going on with that, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to, you know, one is it's how the VA delivers services, right? And even the rest of our nonprofits and whatnot, when you look at it, it's rewarding everybody for getting worse. You know what I mean? And we've got to get upstream. We've got to get up here and connect these services and these benefits sooner.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes.
Say what you just said again. That was a very insightful thing. Rewarding people for getting worse. What does that mean?
So if you look at it, the VA only services 30% of the total number of veterans in this country, right? They don't service every single veteran.
Okay.
They only service 30%. And they reward you by getting better, by getting worse, not by getting better. So you get more money, you get more benefits, the worse off you say you are. Not from just your service. It's not just based on your service. So, you know, at 100%, right, if everybody understands the percentage rating of the VA. And at 100%, a veteran's family can get insurance now, medical insurance. Up until, you know, at 90% and below, it's only just the veteran themselves. At 100%, the veteran's family can also now get education assistance into college and higher education. In many cases here in Wisconsin, at 100%, your property taxes are reimbursed. So, and you get more money, and all these other benefits are only at 100%. And so in order to get to 100%,
you got to get worse.
You have to have these worse conditions. And I mean, when I first left Walter Reed with a TBI, retained shrapnel, missing a leg below the knee, in combat service.
And by just as judge, just some,
over there,
just to jump in,
TBI, I only had a 50% rating.
And TBI is traumatic. I'm sorry, yeah, TBI, traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, TBI, traumatic brain injury. And I was blown up, I think, 13 times before the last one got me. So
you were, wait a minute. No. You can't just let that slide by. You were hit 13 times?
We had, yeah, danger close to IEDs, mortars, and whatnot about 13 times. Yeah. Knocked around, knocked silly, that kind of stuff.
Unreal. Which part of Iraq were you? Were you up in the triangle?
Yeah, we were in the Sunni triangle, okay. Right there in Mamadiyah, Lutafia, Iskandaria, all the
terrible place.
But BJ, like you're saying, you're talking about the more benefits, the worse you are. And in defense of the Veterans Administration, is our government has other programs like that too. I mean, the worse you are.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into all that, but you got to turn this thing around. Is what you're trying to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we have plenty in this country. You know, like, why don't we just set up a program that if you serve this country, there's only 18 million veterans in this country, 12 million of which are 55 and older, and another 4 million of that 12 million is 75 and older. So we're one of the only populations that are shrinking at any given time, and it's been stable for the past 20 plus years. We only have 2 million people serving, 1.2 on active duty and 800,000 in reserves. So why are we only servicing 30% of our veterans through the VA? You know, why are we making it that the veterans have to go in every day? I mean, I have to have an appointment every 7 years to prove that my leg hasn't grown back. You know, I just went through a whole issue. They, for some sort of clerical error, they said I didn't have any dependents and said I owed $28,000. It took me almost a year to get that fixed. I just was going through an issue right now. The federal VA audited Madison recently and said that all of us were getting our prosthetics too fast. And so it took me 9 months to even get an approval to build a new leg, which is going to take about 3 to 4 months as my leg was breaking down. You know, it's a bureaucratic mess. Everything's been politicized, and that's causing a lot of the veteran suicide. I mean, I say the number one reason why the veteran suicide is so high is because of the government involvement and how we're delivering services. But secondarily, our nonprofits, like everybody with the best intentions, they always want to help those that are worse off instead of just helping the population, helping those that have served and building a community around that. You know, like if a veteran drove truck in the military, when they get back, they got to go to the back of the line and they got to go through all the classes, the same classes that everybody else has to go through, because those educational institutions know that we're fully funded. And so they want to get every bit of that college money from the VA. Like when I came back, my STARS report, everything I did in the military all went to electives. So as I'm chasing down my degree, none of that stuff I did in the military actually helped me. I still had to take all these other classes. And that's a very simple fix, in my opinion. The Department of Education at the federal level just needs to go over to the Department of Defense and validate all the courses that we get, accredit the Department of Defense, so that these education institutions can't make us take the full 4 years worth of college in order to get that degree. We'd only have to maybe take a year or something.
Wow.
But it doesn't work that way.
Why don't you run for office?
That was my question.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Jim always asks that, so I'm going to jump.
Good people.
Seriously.
But do they reach out to you to be some task force or
some
committee?
There's a lot of people that ask me to run for office. I'm not willing to sell my soul. I mean, I think these political parties are acting more like terrorist organizations than communities or institutions that try to provide free thought and ways to challenge each other to create the best possible union we can. I have no desire to get mixed up into that.
Well, okay, BJ, I'm going to ask you a favor because we have to send it to a break. Yeah. We got another guest coming on. Can I get you on again this week? Because there's so much interesting material here to talk to you about. But I also want to talk to you again this week, if that's possible, about what you did with the Veterans Museum during the time of all the protests. What you did every day is remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm free this week. Just let me know what day works best for you guys. And
okay.
I'll have to come back on.
Okay. We really appreciate that because this is too good to shortchange.
It is. And then it really bothers me when someone as talented as you and we have some other people in this community that need to get more involved in not necessarily the elected process, but, you know, to get appointed to a committee that
and
really
just to
has
call
some
things
say.
The way they are.
Right,
I mean, you're just a
realist.
You're just like realist. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't, you know, and then there's this groupthink that goes on in government. You know, nobody wants to step out. And that happens on city councils, county boards. And you need an agent of change is what they call people like you.
I think there's too many people that worry about the next election.
Well, totally.
About keeping their job versus,
So I don't know. Just I'm going to give that a little bit of thought, too. But, thank you for being on here, BJ.
He's going to twist your arm, BJ, to try to get you to run for
campaign
office.
Manager.
Just so you know.
Campaign manager.
Something, BJ Ganim, you're an amazing human being, and thank you for what you did for our country, and thank you for what you're doing for our veterans now, and we're going to talk to you again this week, okay? Because we still have a bunch more to talk about.
Right.
You're the man.
Sounds
thank
good,
you, buddy.
Guys. All right, appreciate
okay, brother.
It.
Thank you.
See ya. We're going to set a quick break. Ace Champion will be joining us. Everybody knows Ace, talking about when you guys were co-stars of a big movie that you don't remember.
Right.
Mino and the Mayor.
That's how big it was.
Back after this.
Here, you can watch the show live right now on Facebook. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. How great
was BJ?
Is BJ. We're going to talk to him again later on this week because I got to talk about what he... Todd, wasn't he amazing?
I'm sitting here going... Everything he said made complete sense
right.
to me, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't like I wasn't understanding what he was saying. It just made complete sense.
And it's going to be someone like him that, you know, he's been in since 96 and he just knows the system and it's flawed. It's just been built on indecision, past indecision, and bureaucracy
well,
on bureaucracy.
I know of a specific incidence of somebody that committed suicide.
Because of that.
Because of the lack. It wasn't locally. It was in Colorado. He was a Wisconsin guy, but was in Colorado, and he committed suicide because of the terrible treatment he was getting from the VA.
Or lack of.
Talk about treatment of special people. Boy, hey, this is our best day for musicians.
It is. We're bringing in the best.
We had Kevin Van Ness earlier, and now we got Ace Champion. I mean, this is like the man.
Well, Ace is the man on a lot of things, but something, and he's been on our show, twice, three times, and... we went to see his show.
And he still can't figure out our headphones
no.
after all this time. He's still working.
But we haven't talked about it.
What's up, big
Here
man?
I am. What's up?
Look at this. Ace in the house.
In his house.
So
last week, right?
Yes.
We're talking about Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts, the actor.
Yeah.
Who is brother of Julia Roberts.
Yep. And Jim was saying, he's been over to my house.
Yeah.
And then... You asked, John, about what movie.
Yeah, why was he in town?
Yeah, what was he in town for?
So I pulled it up on Google, and I'm paging down to look at the synopsis of the movie, and there's a picture of our very own former mayor, Jim Schmidt.
On the Google, when you Google the movie, was it Buried Alive? Project Solitude, Buried Alive?
Yeah.
His picture.
His picture. Look, by the way, looking much younger. But
much
anyway.
Younger.
Yeah,
and thinner. Okay. I got to be honest with
you.
Okay,
thanks, John. All right.
I'm just telling you. Okay,
let's get back to Ace.
Amanda actually pulled the movie up that night, and she watched it. And she videotaped on her phone the proportions that
I didn't know this.
Yeah. I'm watching it. The big scene where Jim turns around to look at the TV, right?
Do you remember that, Ace?
And in the movie, I'm going, well, there's Ace Champion.
Ace is his co-star. We didn't know. Ace, This guy was in movie, and he's like, I don't remember. I don't remember.
I really don't.
If I was in a movie, I would tell you everything. I could tell you what it was like when I played Jim the Runaway Slave in Huck Finn at Mesabi State Junior College.
I played Peter Pan. I flew across
exactly.
The
stage. Yeah. But he doesn't remember your movie, co-starred with you in a movie.
I think it's because the role he played, he doesn't remember.
Because he's a con?
We were both cons.
Right. We were in jail.
We were in jail. I don't even know what for.
Right. And that other, that bald guy, did you see him at all?
No, you're the only one I've seen since that movie.
They got the chair.
Oh, they got the chair. We lucked out then.
Boy, is that an old guy's thing, the chair. The last time they used the chair.
Some states still
aren't
do.
Aren't they sticking people now?
Yeah, that's okay. True. That's true. But Ace, that was in 2000, I think, 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And they came to Green Bay and said, look, we're going to do a movie. I don't know why they picked Green Bay, to be honest with you, what the connection was. But they did a lot of it in Suamico. I know that. Okay. That's where they filmed a lot of it. How did you get selected? And tell me, I sure as hell didn't audition. I'll tell you that. They just said, you're Beaver.
Hey, were you Peter Pan at the Widener? Right. You were spectacular, flying over the crowd.
We were in the audience.
That
we noticed
pixie
you.
Dust. Right. Nobody threw pixie dust like you.
You got the right thing. But they changed, as at NWTC, they took one of the rooms and made it into a jail. And then, did they give us the clothes? I don't know, we had white t-shirts, blue shirts, and then jeans. Did they give that to us? I think they did, right?
I think so.
And then they said they gave us a deck of cards.
Yeah, that or dominoes.
Oh, it was
dominoes.
It was
dominoes. We were playing dominoes. Yeah, right. imagine me and Jim playing slapping dominoes on the table.
I don't know how to play dominoes
with the other criminals.
And one guy looked like a badass though. He was.
Oh yeah, I think some of them were really like ex-cons.
They brought those guys over.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know anybody
for the day. It was their day release.
And it was just one day, right?
One day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was when I was inspiring to try and be an actor. Before I had my vision of being the cooking show host. Yeah. And it was something I saw on in the newspaper. Because, you know, back then we watched the newspaper. And they had these auditions there. But it was just for, what do they call, extras. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was just an extra. You know, but of course you were the star. So
no,
you know,
I was
happy to
I
be
was,
next to you.
Back then I was trying to be a mayor.
You were.
They invited me. They said, you want to come over to that? And I remember meeting you, but it wasn't a long day, right? Wasn't
No, it was like in the basement somewhere, and they had the little jail cell set up. It really looked like
And the
a
guy's
basement.
Like, and I remember the first thing, I don't know if I have a speaking line in there, but the guy said, turn around, look at the TV, because they... Either my daughter was dead or my daughter was missing. You remember
No, no. You were. She thought you were dead.
Oh.
She thought you were dead. And so the story came up and you turned around, which, by the way, very convincing, Jeff.
All right. Best part of the movie. I never watched a movie, but
how do you not watch a movie that you're in?
I ain't gonna lie, I didn't watch it either. I couldn't
That's
find
not,
out
okay.
where it was and
oh
then,
my
then time
God.
Went up. But I would love to see it.
Yeah, I did go buy it. It was at Walmart in the discount bin. So, somebody told me that, Ace, and then I went there and bought it. That's what happened. But I remember the guy said to me, "Look, so you got to turn around and look at the TV. Like, wow, I can't believe what I just heard." That's all he told me. Like, there was no like rehearsal or anything.
No.
So the first thing I did was, he goes, "Okay," and then he said, "All right." The lady was talking, then I turned around. I looked right into the camera. He's cut. He goes, don't look at the camera.
How many takes did you have to do?
I remember that.
It wasn't that. I don't think we were there that long.
It was really quick.
I think they gave us some stuff to wear. I don't know. I'm going to guess 2-3 hours tops.
Yeah. They gave us stuff to wear. Like for me, they told me I was in line waiting on the phone, and then I was supposed to cut everybody and go like kind of, I guess, bully the guy on the phone for a cigarette and to get off the phone. Yeah. So
did you bully him?
No. Well, he was still the mayor, even though we were on TV.
I gotta be honest, I think you'd be bullied in prison.
Oh, yeah. I was a little nervous just to even know it was
somebody's girlfriend.
To come. Yeah. No.
But that was interesting. It kind of came and went, though. I mean, Eric Roberts was not a nobody. I mean, he wasn't a big name, but it just, I don't know what happened to... Was that a big deal? Who knows? But still, it could have been more fun if they would have been a little bit more with it in Green Bay. But they kind of came in, they shot it, and then they left. They never spent any. Did you get paid for that?
There was no premiere. Oh, no. I wish. I know I didn't.
I got a donation to the campaign, but I, no, just kidding. I didn't.
You didn't get paid anything? Not even like just.
Don't they usually keep
no, you, when you're your extra, thing? you're trying to build credits.
Okay.
So that was my pay just being on the show.
Okay.
But even
okay.
though I never saw it, so I guess.
I mean, yeah. I mean, put on your IMDb or whatever
yeah,
it's called.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was the last and only thing I ever did with.
Really?
With, yep. And then I went right to the cooking thing.
So when you saw that in the paper, we're looking for extras in this movie. And I think, they did it down in Oshkosh, and they got a ton of people for that. That Johnny Depp movie.
Oh
that?
Yeah,
that
oh,
was.
Yeah.
They had a ton of people there. Did you audition?
Oh, gangster.
Yeah. Did you audition to be an extra, or did they just call you and say, "Look"?
No, they were like. Oh, he's black. Yeah, he's good. Sorry, I had to go there.
I guess.
No, you said it, not him. Yeah, right.
Okay.
You're welcome. No.
So you got in because you're black. I got in because I'm the mayor. And the movie flopped. I wonder. Yeah. Huh?
No. No, it. I don't really think it was an audition. They got there. They looked at me and they were like, okay, you're good. They didn't even tell me what I was doing. I was like, okay, well, hopefully I'm playing a nice key role. And they're like, oh, you're in the prison. Then when I saw you there, I'm like, oh, shit, this must be great, you know? But, yeah, I don't think they told you you're going to be a prisoner too, huh?
I don't think so. They just said just show up. I think it was like in the afternoon and show up at 1 o'clock till 3. It's not going to take that long. And I thought I was an extra in the crowd. And they gave us stuff to wear and put this on. And then we walked into that room and... Here's the phone. It was one of those payphone things, and you were standing behind me.
I remember the payphone. Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
I know. The era of the pay. Does that make us old?
Right. The jail phone.
This is awesome. Yeah. This is awesome. So, well, Ace, what's going on in your real life?
Let's
live in the dream, man.
I'll tell you what.
I see you often.
Absolutely. You're all over the place.
Right.
I am.
What are you working on now? You just did a fundraiser. I forgot what it was for. Sorry about that.
No, you're making me forget now, Jim.
Okay.
What did I do? I did so many of them.
I know.
Oh, it was for Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin.
Love them.
They specialize for, mental health. And at Growling Cafe right around the corner, too, as well. They had a high school cookout for the special need kids that were inspiring to be chefs. And they had a little cookout, and I was one of the judges and everything
Beautiful.
Like that. It was amazing.
Beautiful.
It was amazing.
And that is so cool to do that. I'm so glad you do that. And to bring awareness to that, because I think some people do want to volunteer. I think COVID set some organizations back and some people back, quite honestly. And I think they want to volunteer. You look at just the variety of things we talked about today. I mean, there's veterans things that you can volunteer for. There's Literacy Green Bay, which helping kids to really learn English. You can read to little kids or mentor someone who's looking to maybe get a job. You know, you with the cooking for special needs people. You know, we had at Southwest was at the homeless shelter yesterday.
Yeah.
Helping us organize some donation closets as well as serving meals. So, I mean, I just think that's cool. And I think people should do that. And I tell these students when they come, it's not to scare them like, oh, you'd be good or you're going to end up here. It's like more like, look, if you're a citizen of this community, you need to give something back or volunteer. And all these opportunities, I think, are great. And they need leaders like you to bring
and
them
I up. Think if they do want to volunteer to figure out what their passion is, you know, if you're really passionate about something, it's kind of easy to volunteer, you know, versus, oh, I got to go to the soup kitchen and you hate being around soup, you know.
Right.
And so figure out what you're passionate about, because everything I do, you know, I'm passionate about it. If I'm not, then I just don't do it.
So back to where we started. So, right, you're passionate about cooking and obviously music, and there's a lot of volunteers for that. There's a lot of volunteers for acting, too.
Yeah, there is. Oh, my Lord.
In Green Bay.
I think everybody wanted to be an actor at one point in their life.
But, you know, from the community theater right over here and, you know, the stuff going on in Oshkosh and Appleton, there's a lot of unpaid actors and actresses, but they got a passion for it. They want to share their talent, and you know, God bless them for doing that. But you and I never made it in the acting field.
We were one-hit wonders, is what they called them back in the day. Yeah, they saw the finished product. Yeah. Was like, yeah, no.
in the Walmart bargain bin.
Leave your headshot.
Hey, we made it to Walmart though. That's
we'll keep it on
big
file.
Deal. Could have been at the thrift store bin.
Oh, that's
you know?
True.
It was in Walmart, so let's give us a little credit.
I still think that's awesome. You guys were both in a movie.
Yeah.
I know, and here we circle around. Hey, what,
I know.
How many
you know what,
years
that's
later.
What I think is
Let
cool.
Let me tell you something, though. I know so many people that were in movies when they were shot and ended up on the editing room floor, and they never, you know.
Got on the
so
screen.
So you guys got on the screen. That says something just by itself.
Yeah,
seriously.
For that 8 seconds or
8
seconds of dominoes and... cigarette jacking.
I just think it's cool. Yeah. So Ace, we're gonna be setting a break here in a little bit, but when we come back, we want you to play some music.
For sure.
And we want to talk a little bit more about all the great things you do between cooking and the food and the music. You've created a niche here in this area. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. So unique. Nobody else does this.
Awesome. You got a cool following.
Thank you.
Yeah, you really do. We'll talk about that a little bit more.
You're the best, Jim. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what. That one night when we were at the Children's Museum for that get-together.
Yeah, it was fun.
And you cooked that night?
Yes, sir.
I mean, sitting around at the table I was sitting at, people didn't know you, some of the older.
Right.
They're like, did you try this?
I love it. You can't believe this.
And the flames going up. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah. I mean, that was like, a little guerrilla marketing. I was just sitting there talking.
Nice.
And they were like, oh my goodness, this is fantastic.
Nice. Yeah.
That's amazing. That was really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, but there's a lot you're doing. So when you come back, let's talk about some of the things you're doing and how you think the community could even do a little bit more. Because I think there's a lot of people out there that would like to do more, and maybe we can help them connect that.
And by the way, we want to mention a place we went to Saturday, you and I.
Oh, man. Ace, do you drink beer?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been to this
Todd,
place?
Todd, give our place a pub.
Noble Roots Brewing Company.
On University, six-year anniversary, kind of a father-son family business.
Started in their garage.
They make beer, and to test it, they call it a garage party, and they invite people over, and what do you think about this? You know, too bitter, too this and that, and they had a great crowd there. Johnny and I, they were on our show last week, and we went there for their celebration. It was from, I think, 2 to 9.
7 year anniversary? Six or seven
years they've been in business, which is, you know, they're over the hump, you know.
Right. But literally in their garage, father and son.
Yeah. It's a great business, and they've got a great brand, and a lot of people were there, and it was so nice on Saturday. People are sitting outside, which
is
great.
We got there 50 minutes early, which is a good thing. Because once it opened for business, it was just like,
Noble Roots Brewery.
Fantastic.
University.
Can't say enough great things about them.
We'll have to go
We're
back
with
again.
Ace Champion. We're going to be talking a little bit more about his phenomenal career with food, and we're going to hear some live music. Mind on the Mayor, back right after this.
Just behind the bridge, he lays her down. He frowns, gee, my life's a funny thing. Am I still too young? He kissed the woman there. She took his ring, took his babies. It took him minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows he'd have taken in a finger.
That's why the movie was a flop.
Yeah, listening to these two guys talk during the break is like,
I'm trying to get poor
Eric Roberts. I understand why he didn't come back and Julia never came.
We're
with Ace Champion. Ace is just the man about town. I mean, he's a phenomenal musician, phenomenal chef, entertainer, everything. And go ahead, Jim, take it away with everything you guys have got going on.
Well, and Ace is—you've really got into this community, and you don't really hail
from
here.
Semi-pro football player,
right?
Yes, yeah, 17 years.
All right. By the way, were you a teammate of our good friend Spencer?
I was.
Yeah,
I was.
Spencer, our artist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't he something
else?
Back
in 2016.
How big is he? Isn't he incredible?
Big enough.
Yeah. And I call him a gentle giant because just off the field, he's so nice.
Yeah, he was actually one of the guys that would protect me because I played quarterback.
But then on the field, killer.
Yeah, beast.
Just a killer, just a beast. Yes. Yeah.
Nice to have those guys around.
Absolutely.
Hey, so, Ace, your wife, you work together to share your talents, right?
Yes.
And it's really your talents would be, I mean, you have a lot of them, but besides being quarterback, is really in the music and the food. Yes, I know, John. No, we don't have, we're 9 minutes.
How much time we got?
9 minutes.
John,
8 minutes now. It's 8:52. But Ace, what are you working on now?
Yeah, now, I was trying to find my lane. You know, this type of music really doesn't fit in a lot of traditional, you know, events like bars and stuff like that. So I started partnering up with a few yoga studios. So Bay Bay Yoga Studio right there on Webster Avenue. I just partnered up with them. We're actually doing a chakra series, you know, so the first of every Monday for 7 weeks, and each chakra represents a certain part of your body, from your heart to your lungs to all above.
But so your music does kind of healing, or
it does
to certain parts. Like when, remember you were on here one time and John was had the stomach flu, and I John, we played a little music in F sharp, I think. Is that the stomach?
F sharp is the heart.
Oh, the heart. Yeah. Okay. Well,
that was... you remember A was the third eye. That's for your intuition.
All right.
Yeah. His stomach was actually in the key of D.
Oh, right, that's what it was. So we played it, but he wasn't listening. He was sleeping. Yeah, so he was sick for another 3 days.
Yeah, that's all it took.
We could have cured him. So you're going to the yoga studio on Webster Avenue, and that's the first Monday of every month. Is that what you said?
Yeah, starting April 1st.
Okay.
So it'll be for 7 weeks.
All right. And that's where we can listen to your music, do yoga, and heal the body.
Yep. It's all about, a lot of people do a lot of physical stuff to heal the body, but they forget about emotional health and mental health. And this kind of clears everything up all in one package.
That is awesome. And what's the name of that program called? How can we connect with that?
Yeah, that's Green Bay Yoga Studio right there on Webster. Her name's Kat. You know, you just go on their Facebook page, give her a contact, and sign up.
All right. And then you've got something else going on.
I actually partnered up with Titletown. You know, great providers. They do a lot for the community.
Oh, yeah.
And we're doing a called Mindful Meditation. So the first Monday of every in the month of May. So 5 weeks we'll be doing this. We just did our first one last Friday. So you can come there. We'll have someone talking, guiding you through mental meditation, and then I'm playing the music in the background to help.
Why don't you play a little music for mental?
This is the most unique instruments that you have here. That's so cool. So you gotta take it out for the rest of the show. Ace champion playing. What do you call this?
Yeah, this is a drone flute. So
drone flute.
This is what you guys remember back in the ancient days. You know, I know you remember back in the ancient days, right, Jeff?
What do you think's older, me or him? Who looks older?
Oh, my Lord.
Come on.
That's like you never... I'm not going to go. You both look young and wonderful. Like, yeah. That's why I'm here.
Do I look fat in these jeans?
No, yes. So this is what the Mayan culture, so the Mayans are the Aztecs.
The Mayans,
yeah,
absolutely.
Way, way back, this is what they would play in the temples, you know, to actually for healing, because this actually would calm the body. Believe it or not, back then people stressed out too as well and suffered for those type of disorders too, and this was the way because they didn't have the medicine doctors.
Love it.
Then. So,
yeah. Right.
Do it.
Awesome. Now we got champion. Both.
Now you got both.
That.
All right.
Oh yeah.
So we can partake in that. And are you going to teach them as well? Like this helps with the heart.
Yeah,
okay. That's good performance music wise, but I think you educate the crowd pretty well too.
That's what it's all about, because they can't have me there every single Monday, you know? So these to give them tips and techniques that they can take home with them.
Are you going to do any recording?
As far as for
like CDs, if people want to get your stuff.
Actually, I recorded my first album 6 months into my career. So that's on my website, chefchampion.com, with my music page. And right now I am recording the second album. I'll be featuring about 15 different flutes from over 20 countries on that particular CD.
Right.
So we're working on that.
It's doing better than the movie.
Yeah, it is doing better than the movie.
So that's what I think is so amazing, is that there's a perspective with your music. Talk about the Mayans or the Mayans and what they used to, I mean, I love it that you bring the historical aspect.
Right.
It's not just somebody sitting in his apartment, he comes up with this tune.
Right.
Everything that you have is a base to it. And you're keeping that alive. I think that's phenomenal.
Yes. Yeah. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Absolutely.
Right. Wow. All right. Stay with what works.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for what you're doing for the community. We're going to stop in at one of those things, and we'll have you back here.
Yeah, you got to come do some yoga with us.
Yeah, I would love to.
We talked about that. We have yoga mats.
You know what I'd love to talk to you about someday is some of the blues. I love blues music. And I'd love to talk about a lot of that came from the slave culture.
Yes.
That's where it all came from. Yes. And Elvis, basically, was the person that made it mainstream. Yes. And even the Beatles were big followers of that.
Yes.
The blues, when you come to music in our country, that's almost like the foundation of our music, isn't it?
It is. It was a way for them to express themselves.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, just like I'm doing the same thing with this music. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Love that.
I love blues.
Okay.
I even bought my...
That's
kind of
love it. So next time we have you, like, can we just talk about the blues?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Right.
Yes, sir.
Do you want him to play out?
Play us out here.
Yeah.
My name is Hey. All right. Sorry, this is our first day of the 3-hour show. It's been fun.
B plus.
Listen to this. Champion back.